الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضيء الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Hashr, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا تنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات Allah Azza wa Jal in these verses of the Holy Quran gives us a set of rules. If-then statement. Following up from the previous session, the entirety of the Holy Quran, this code that we have, we need to unveil it decrypt it, understand it, and apply it. Verse by verse, you'll find the beauty of the Holy Quran, that it is completely designed and written for the human intellect. The way we are wired, the way we are made, who we are, our entire essence is made to absorb the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. The words of Allah Azza wa Jal are written, they are created, they are made for the human mind, for the human self. They are made for you and I. The problem is that fusion between the words and the self is still needed is through one act called the will of the person. When I will to be, this will of mine that drives me to understand these words of Allah Azza wa Jal. It drives me to comprehend and it drives me to interact with the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. Where is the problem? Why is it that we lack? See, if I take, for example, this masbaha here with me. If I let it go, what happens to it? Obviously, the law of gravity acts on it, and what happens? It's really an easy question. It's not a... It falls. Free fall, right? There is a law acting on it. And if I throw it hard, it will go into that trajectory until it lands. Why? There is also a law acting. What we see is we describe the behavior of what? Of this mass is through these mathematical equations describe the physical law. Right or wrong? Usually it's going around the Newtonian laws. It's very simple. Nothing much to it. Everything is governed by law. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal created this universe. Every particle in this universe is created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything in this universe is created by Allah Azza wa Jal. If it is created by Allah Azza wa Jal, and we know Allah Azza wa Jal does not create anything suda, anything abath, anything in vain. So therefore, if it is created, the entity, the whatever is being created, is created with a purpose built into it. Therefore, it is within that creation and within that build, the laws of interaction with everything else around it. If that is the premise, then we realize that nothing in this universe is random or sporadic. It is within this precise law that everything is governed. And therefore, whether it's our thoughts and the effects of our thoughts, our feelings and the effects of our feelings, our intentions and the effects of our intentions, our actions and what follows our actions, everything has a decisive and extremely meticulous, detailed law. The question is, how much of it do we know? We spend how many years, K through 12, just to attain a degree to go into college, and then 4 years of bachelor degrees, and 2 years of masters, and if we're lucky, inshallah, 4 years of PhD or 5 years, and all of this to understand what? A simple theory that was made by mankind. To go and understand a theory in physics, a theory in math, a theory in biology, something in chemistry, something in psychology, or read a paper or read a book by a man written by a human being some time ago, and then analyze it, and then give our perspective. Subhanallah, 12 times plus 4, 16. 16 plus 2, 18. 18 plus another 4, 22, if my math serves me right, 22 years, so we can be granted a title, PhD, that we are an authority of a man-made theory or document that then it might be proven wrong. 22 years. Big Bang Theory, now we have the peace theory, the string theory, the M theory, and all of... Now what happens? Before they had the Earth is the center of universe. And I'm sure the scientists at the time who believed the Earth was the center of the universe were very much respected. They spent a lot of time studying, mapping, detailing. And then now what? We ridicule that thought. It's like, what? The center. Good. Subhanallah. The Earth is the center of the universe. We ridicule the thought. But how much time have you seen the maps drawn back then? These people spend the time and effort. And this is man-made, how much time we put into it. And we don't know if it's right or wrong. We try. We try. But the question is, how much time do we put fraction of those 22 years to study the book of Allah Azza wa Jal? You know, this is, we're stunned. Oh my God, he is right. And then we forget it. That's the problem. It's truly 22 years. 22 years of our time, and we aim for it. We pay money for it. We get into loans for it. Just so we can be an authority in one specific area. How much, and what is it going to be useful for us? Yes, inshallah, we get respect, we know things, and then we get, inshallah, the wealth, we get to start a family, etc., etc. But then what in your eternal life? Those 22 years, I'm sure, inshallah, they help you believe in Allah further. But the question is, how much time, the fraction of 22, let's take 10%. What's 10% of 2.2 years? That's 24 plus 2 months, how much? I mean, let's assume 24 months. You know what, 24 months is too much. Let's assume at least 12 months. It's too much. Let's take one full month. Let's take 1 month of Shahr Ramadan. Let's take this Shahr Ramadan. How much time are we willing to put the effort to read the words of Allah Azza wa Jal? The problem is, we are given everything on a golden platter, dear brothers and dear sisters. The problem, the danger of us letting go of this treasure, Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin Salamullah ta'ala alayhi. What does he say? He says, this Quran, you open it up, it's a treasure chest. You look, when you open a treasure chest, when you open something which has gold and has diamonds, what do? Between you and I, do you open it up and close it? If you want to hide it, of course, but no. You open it, what do? You look into it, oh my God. You look at the pearl, you look at the gold, it's shining, it's beautiful. You try to think, what's the value of this? And then what do? Please, be honest to yourself. What do you do once you see that pearl? The first thing, you relate to what can you get out of this pearl. How much money? Because what? What can you get out of the money for you? Right or wrong? I mean, come on, don't look at me like, what is he talking about? Come on. Alright? No, the first thing is not about paying the khums of this treasure, okay? You're not thinking about that. I'm sure you're not thinking about how am I going to build a larger mosque or how am I going to help the orphans. Inshallah you are, but the point is what? What can I benefit from it? Al-Imam Islam says these verses are these gold, are these diamonds, are these pearls. And the Quran is that treasure chest. Open it, and when you open the verse, what should you do? Look into it. Like you look at the gold. What do you do? First thing, how can I benefit from this gold? How much money will I get? What's the value of it? What will it do to me? And the same thing you do with the verse of the Holy Quran. What can I benefit from this verse? What does it mean to me? How can I relate to it? It is all about building a relationship. In these few nights, we will talk about how do we build a relationship. Because what do we try to do? At the end of the day, by the night of power, by the great of night of power, you're trying to build a relationship with whom? It's actually with one. With Allah Azza wa Jal and all His manifestations. Whether it's the Holy Quran or whether it's the Imam alayhi salam. At the end of the day, you're trying to build relationship with one. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. How? He manifested that. It's through the words of Allah, through the Holy Quran, and what? It's through the Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman. So it tried to approach. See, a lot of times when you try to talk about it intellectually or try to give it in form of equations or modeling it in different, it might become a little bit sophisticated and people get to be a little bit overwhelmed and say, you know, this is too much, simplify it. Here it is, one word, build a relationship. Build a relationship. The question is what? Here, let's examine this. Now what I want you to do is this. Between you and yourself, re-examine your relationships. What kind of relationships you have. Whether it's with your, if you're a son, with your father and mother, if you're a brother, with your brothers and sisters, if you're a father, with your daughters and sons, if you're a husband, with your wife, if you're a wife, with your husband, and if you're a friend, with your friends, if you work for someone, with your employee, and he goes on and on like this. Examine it. Ask yourself. I just want to leave you with this thought and I'm going to go back to the verse. How do you evaluate your ability of making and sustaining a relationship? How well do you do this? And obviously, the more value that relationship has to you, the more you take care of it. What do? I'm sure you call the person. I'm sure you keep up with the person. I'm sure you care for the person. I'm sure you check on the person. I'm sure you worry about the person. And if the person is sick, you go and make sure they're okay. If the person is in the hospital, you go and visit them. If the person has a wedding, you go and visit their wedding. If the person has something good, you go and participate with them. And God forbid the person undergoes something harmful, you go and visit them. This happens. Why? Because you care about the person. Right or wrong? How much time do you put into it? Vested interest into this relationship. Right or wrong? This relationship with the Holy Quran. How is it? How is your relationship? They say there's a narration that says on the Day of Judgment, a beautiful creation comes and walks amongst all of the creations. And everyone looks at him, mashallah, what a beauty, what is he? But this creation does something very interesting. You know what it does? It walks and it just signals to the people and they rise and they follow it. And as they rise and follow it, they rise and elevate higher and higher. And everyone is wondering, who is this creation? What is this creation? And they say, this is Al-Quran. And it signals to those who build a relationship with it. And that's why اقرأ ورقة, read and elevate. And this is not hard, by the way. Let's not say, oh my God, we can't do it, we can't. No. The Quran is very easy. It's simple. And the Quran is very complicated. The Quran is you. Listen to me very carefully. The Quran is you. You want to read it face value, you are face value. You'll get face value. You want to become putting an effort, the Quran will put an effort with you. It will go in depth with you. You want to think about it further, it will open up and it will squeeze your brains to say that, oh my God. It's all about you. The Quran is a miracle. That's the beauty of the Quran. The Quran, its depth, yes, it's finite, but within this finiteness, there is what? Infinity. How much deep you go is how much time and effort you put in. As simple as that. You are willing, it's willing. You grab it, it will take you with you. You're trying, you are willing to go on the journey, it will hold your hands and it will take you places you've never been. The question is, are you willing? See, in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, what did He say? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In the Quran, Allah sometimes says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, O people. But on this one, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. Meaning you're a believer. I don't have to convince you about anything here, about God, about the Prophet, about the Quran. No, you believe in it. Then what does He say? اتقوا الله. تقوى. اتقوا الله. See, it's one word. Let me sum it up to you, this entire religion and this entire life. It's about where did we come from, where are we going to, and the life in between. You know the life in between? It's about attaining that perfection so you can be what? Closest to Allah, so you know Him. How? Through one word, taqwa. That's it, summary. It's all done, now you can go home. It's very simple. It is very simple. Taqwa is the tool for reaching perfection. And then there's a definition. See, the beauty of the Holy Quran, it deepens the meaning. The first thing, the attention grabber. Oh, you who believe. Okay, I believe. What do you want me to know, Allah? Ittaqullah. Be pious and aware. Okay, how?
وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ.
Look forward of what you have brought, set forth for tomorrow. What is ghad? What is tomorrow? Tomorrow is not today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. No, tomorrow is your eternal life. You know what's the amazing part? We talk about the Day of Judgment as if it's something far away. Surah Al-Zalzala, Al-Quran is beautiful. Al-Quran is amazing. I swear to God, just take the time into it and see what it shows you. What does it say?
يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا.
On the Day of Judgment, what happens? People are going to be resurrected in groups. For what purpose? لِيُرَوْا
أَعْمَالَهُمْ.
So they can be shown what? Their deeds. What does this mean? It is now we're creating our hereafter. Right now, I'm creating my hereafter. With what I do, I'll be shown on the Day of Judgment. For example, did you see the projector here? As they were projecting Dua al-Istah and Dua al-Tawassul. What is it there? It's somewhere on the computer, it's written in very small fonts, right or wrong. All the projector is doing, it projected on this large screen. Right or wrong. Yet the fact is what? When it was being clicked on in the media room, it was projected right here. In the media room, do they see the projection? Actually, they see it. How do they see? They see the PowerPoint, what they're seeing in their screen. But the reality exposed and enlarged is what? We're seeing it here. All they have to do is walk from the multimedia room and see, oh my God, it's so large. Oh my God, it's so live. This is the whole thing. The multimedia is the dunya, the akhirah is here. You just walk from here to there. And the death is what? Al-barzakh is what? They're walking from there to here. It's as simple as that. We are not on the Day of Judgment. I'm not going to say, oh my God, who did this? Oh no, no, you will know that you've done this. It's like, oh my God, who's done this? I've done this. I know I've done this. Why? This heedlessness of not paying attention, suddenly you'll be unveiled. I won't forget anything. I will know everything. I will realize I have done every single bit of it. Again, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Why?
إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ.
God knows everything you do. Now when I say, look, when I say God knows everything we do, what am I doing? I am describing Allah Azza wa Jal. Right or wrong? So it became what? An attribute of His. I say what? He is all-knowing. Let me briefly stop on this one, at this verse, at this attribute, and look at its implication. If I see, the all-knowing is a key attribute when we talk about Allah Azza wa Jal. If I really believe the implications of believing that He is all-knowing, if I really believe He is all-knowing, all the time and all states. What does that mean? What do you think the implications of the all-knowing has on my life? See, I want you to bear with me these few nights as we build on to the core topic of knowing Allah Azza wa Jal. Right now, we're trying to understand from the outskirts, trying to get some of these examples and build on some of these principles. So later on, in the following days, we get more in depth to understanding how is this life functioning? Where is it? Am I destined or do I have a free will? How does it work? Really, where does it work that some people are born into certain lives and others are born into other lives? You need to build the stepping blocks one after the other through the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, through the words of the dua and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, so you can, when you come to the night of power, to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal destines to people and gives the aqdar on these nights. What does it mean? And what is your role in this night? And what is your capacity? And what you're able and not able? If I think and believe Allah is all-knowing, what implication does it have on me? To be truly aware, it means Allah sees everything you do. It's beyond seeing. Seeing is a function of the naked eye. But knowing is a more in-depth awareness. And in the case of Allah, let me give you one law here. I'm going to give you these hints and laws. Memorize them. Anything that is an attribute of perfection, when we talk about it in reference to Allah, it is in the absolute perfect sense. I say, I know. But when I say Allah knows, is it the same way that I know Allah knows? My knowledge, first of all, had ignorance before it. I didn't know, and then what? I came to know. But when we talk about Allah Azza wa Jal, first of all, there is no ignorance in it. Number two, His knowledge is not a product. His knowledge is not an effect. His knowledge is actually the cause for the creation. His knowledge is not preceded before. First He didn't know, then He knew. You know what's the most confusing part and why people get so confused talking about these issues? Because they flip their positions when they talk about these issues and attributes, talking from the human perspective and or from God's perspective. Don't mix them. If you talk about God, you're talking from the absolute perfect sense. When you talk from a human perspective, no, it's all relative. Why? Allah says, Allahu al-ghani wa antum al-fuqara. There is one, this factor, need. We always have this need in us, regardless. With Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no such thing called need. Anytime you start thinking and you find there's an attribute that has need in it, completely cancel it. That's not God. For example, let me give an example here, a quick example. Some of us, when we think of God and we pray, what do we think? We create an image in our minds, right? The fact that you created an image, the image needs what? Needs your mind to exist. That means it's not God. Period. Take it out. There is no need in any way, shape, form when it comes to Allah. Period. What is that called? In the names of Allah, independency. Not only independency, the fact that everything else in the universe, what? Depends on Him. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. That's the name, Al-Qayyum. When I talk, Ya Allah, Ya Qayyum, what am I saying, Qayyum? That He is absolutely independent, and what else? everything else in existence depends on Him. And this, by the way, has beautiful implications. Inshallah, I will talk about it in the coming lectures. But what I want to say is this. Allah starts with focusing on taqwa and reminding us. See, I want you to practice this. Anytime you remember or it comes to your mind an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, what should you do? Let me give you a practice and try from today till tomorrow, practice it so tomorrow we can continue with more. When you say the all-knowing, ask yourself, what implications the all-knowing has on you? In other words, build a relationship. I told you, this month I am here with you, I'm going to help you build relationships. But with whom? With the names of Allah. Because when you build relationships with the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, you're actually building relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Because all the names are none other than Allah Azza wa Jal. So when I say the all-knowing, what does it mean to me? Build a relationship with it. It means that nothing escapes Him, not even me or any of my thoughts or any of my feelings or any of anything in me. Which means what? In reality, if nothing escapes Him, He owns me. Right or wrong? Which means what? He is Al-Malik. He is Al-Malik. Which means what? He is Al-Qadir. He's all able. Which is, and it goes on. And you start building upon it. It starts with what? All knowing, dear brothers and sisters. Allah Azza wa Jal, as we started in the yesterday, I want us to practice the application. So we're talking tonight about how Allah Azza, how first of all we need to read the Quran through the if and then statements. If I believe this, then I should do this. اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد. Watch, be prepared for tomorrow, because now you're creating your hereafter. So Allah says, and I know everything you do, by the way. If from Allah's perspective, it's done, it's all done, He knows it all. This life is for whom? For me or Him? It's for me to show what I chose, what I choose. Allah Azza wa Jal knows it all. It is me who is right now showing me what I choose and what I want. But Allah says, and listen to this part of the verse, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. God is all-knowing, right? If He's all-knowing, that He sees and knows everything. But if He is all-knowing and He sees everything and He knows everything, why do we sometimes act like He doesn't? Why? Allah says this. He gives you the reason. And don't be like those who forgot Allah. Forgetfulness. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. There's an effect to forgetting Allah. You know what it is? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. They forgot themselves. When you forget Allah, you forget yourselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. When you forget yourself, let me tell you what's more valuable than you. Have you seen some people? Really? What they have done to themselves? How they live their lives? You sit down with them. You ask them, why are you ruining your life? They do not put any value in their lives. Why? The root reason is what? They forget Allah. They forgot themselves. Look, dig deeper. And he might be someone who prays. He might be someone who fasts. But all this is what? Shallowness. In reality, he doesn't know God, and God doesn't know him. God always knows him, that was just... But he doesn't know God. Why? People become forgetful. People might pray. People might fast. But their minds and hearts are somewhere else. الإمام سلام الله تعالى عليه أمير المؤمنين the commander of the faithful علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام what does he say? He says don't be taken by their prayers and fasting. It's only a habit, they got used to it. Some persons they actually got used to praying, even if they want to stop they can't, they feel like something is missing. But test them in how they give back their trusts and how truthful is their tongue in their transaction. Not when they come to the masjid, Allahu Akbar, and their minds like, who am I going to try to trick and fool? Who am I going to try to take from? Who am I going to try to misguide? Who am I going to try to... Have you seen some people? Their faces and their garments are like those of the holy ones. Their hearts are so diseased. Their hearts are so diseased. When it comes to transactions, all they know is how to cheat. When they come to dealing, all they know is how to lie. When they come to practicing with people, they backbite, they do everything haram. Yet when it comes time to salah, Allah, and they take a lot of time trying to perfect their wudu, and it's all a show for them. Why? It became a habit. But if the name of Allah has touched you, if the name of Allah, you understood it, that He is all-knowing, He knows, نَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah says, we intervene between the person and his heart. What is closer than the self to you? There is nothing. God says, we intervene between you and yourself. Subhanallah, between you and yourself we intervene. Is there something closer than that? So means what? If the name of Allah, the All-Knowing, had touched you, the most in-depth part of you, that is yourself, will be aware that you should not cheat Allah Azza wa Jal, for He is aware of you. That is why, in Dua Jawshan, what do we say? يا من له العزة والجمال يا من له القدرة والكمال يا من له الملك والجلال. Look at these. يا من له العزة والجمال. O He to whom is all glory and virtue. يا من له القدرة والكمال. O He to whom is all might and perfection. يا من له الملك والجلال. O to He whom is all domination and sublimity. يا من هو الكبير المتعال. O He who is great above all. يا منشئ السحاب الثقال. O He who creates heavy clouds. يا من هو شديد المحال. O He who is the most powerful. يا من هو سريع الحساب. O He who meets out the severest of punishments. Ya man huwa shadeedul iqab. O He who is quick to reckon. Ya man indahu husnul thawab. O He with whom is the excellent reward. Ya man indahu ummul kitab. O He with whom is the original book. سبحانك يا لا إله إلا أنت الغوث الغوث خلصنا من النار يا رب. Look at the names. First, العزة والجمال, glory and virtue. Then القدرة والكمال, might and perfection. Then الملك والجلال, dominion and sublimity. What is he talking about here? It means nothing escapes him and all perfection is to him. Think about it. Let it touch your mind and heart. Nothing escapes him. Anywhere you go, anything you do, any thought, any breath, anything, thing, anything is his. Al-mulku wal-jalal. Then, look,
يا من هو شديد المحال يا من هو سريع الحساب.
Here, warning you, at the end you're going back to him. You're going to be accountable to him.
يا من هو شديد العقاب.
The reckoning is there with him. But at the same time,
يا من عنده حسن الثواب.
And also the reward with him. We do not escape him. Let go of your fears. Let go of whatever is holding you back. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you here with this dua. With this dua, approach Allah and let go of everything else. Open a new chapter. Open a new page. It's so amazing, dear brothers and sisters. How many of you read dua al-Kumail? No one? What happened here? How many of you read dua al-Kumail? Okay, there is like a strike here, but that's fine. Give me the most striking three words in dua al-Kumail. What do you think? Which one? Ahsantum, ahsantum.
يا سريع الرضا.
I don't know what else to tell you. Honestly, you should not have any. That's it, we're done.
يا سريع الرضا.
يا سريع الرضا. His acceptance is so what? سريع, fast. It means what? Just lend your heart. Direct your heart and see how you're going to be accepted. The names, dear brothers and sisters, the names.
Dear brothers and sisters, as we see the names of Allah, through the words of Allah, in the supplications or in the Holy Quran, one call echoed on the 10th day of Muharram in the land of Karbala on the day of Ashura. Imagine Lady Zainab alayha salam standing in the fields of Karbala, looking at the children being slaughtered, at the camps being burned. What did she call? Who did she call? What did she say? Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Lady Zainab, Lady Zainab, alayha salam. She was running after the children. She was collecting all the women. No one to be harmed. No one to be killed. Lady Zainab, Lady Zainab, Imam Zainal Abidin alayhi salam saw his auntie Zainab on the night of the 11th. He saw her praying the night prayer, sitting down. He said, Amma Zainab, why is it you're praying the night prayer sitting down? She said, Sayyidi, I cannot stand on my legs. Wallah, the pain has hurt me so much. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, with the tears flowing from his eyes, prayed for his auntie Zainab. Ya laytana kunna ma'a فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات